We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a 7-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, Terry Rozier. He'll be the next starting point guard of the Charlotte Hornets.
Step back, wide open, and it's good! Terry Rozier!
Lamb has the fire! Oh! Some frequent flyer miles!
What's going on, everyone? This is Richie, and welcome to another BuzzBeat podcast. I'm recording this pod in the early stages of free agency, and as of now, at the time of the recording, the Hornets have yet to sign a player, which is perfectly fine. But this episode is not necessarily going to be focused on free agency by any means. If there is a signing that occurs, I'm sure Spencer, Brian, and myself will have a reaction to it. This episode is going to be a brief rundown of the second round selections and the trade that occurred with New Orleans for Nick Richards. We had put out a podcast as it related to LaMelo Ball and gave our reaction with the live reaction on the live show on Periscope. And that is our most recent podcast. But we didn't really touch upon at all, really, the second round picks. And if you did check out our live show on Periscope, we did give our live reaction to the Vernon Carey pick at number 32. I'll put that link in the description of this podcast. So let's just talk about the players that the Hornets picked up in the second round. We'll start, obviously, with the 32nd pick in Vernon Carey, 6'10", out of Duke. Now, he was listed at 270 and played at 270 when he was in college, but the big breaking news that we saw with him was that he was able to get down and shed 30 pounds to get down to 240.
Yeah, just, just after the season, just me hiring a chef, I felt like that was a part that played a huge role in it. And just me working hard on my body over the time that I had, over the time until the draft today.
So we've not seen him play yet at this weight, but I'm sure he's doing this to create some agility, some mobility in terms of changing his body to make it to the modern NBA, right? Physical center at Duke that could rebound the ball, play on the block, had good hands, good touch around the rim. That's what made him good with the Duke Blue Devils. Now, he has lost some weight, and Brian mentioned this on the live show. You know, what made him so good was the fact that he was so physical down near the rim. He was very efficient down there. Now, with him losing the weight, it's almost like a signal that he is trying to become a little bit more mobile, maybe a pick-and-pop game. Maybe he can get out and shoot the three. I think when you view Vernon Carey, you view this guy that works around the basket. You know, he's going to be a good screen setter. Whether or not he has the pick-and-pop ability yet remains to be seen, but I definitely don't think it's out of the question. And even Spencer mentioned live Wednesday night that he feels that Carey hasn't gotten enough credit for his shot. And, you know, just looking at his mechanics, they're definitely fine. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with his mechanics. I just think the volume that we saw him at with Duke, they didn't ask him to stretch the floor by any means. So a lot of what he did in the offseason, I'm sure, was tailored to try and remove that stigma of him just being a player that is strictly working on the block. I guess one of the things that we were a little bit hesitant about was the fact that he was drafted so high at 32. I think a lot of people didn't have him at a 32 overall pick grade. There was also a lot of different players on the board at the time that we thought were a higher value than him. So having said that, there's also a player that we drafted with our last pick in the second round was probably in the opposite direction. So in the grand scheme of things, does it matter if Vernon Carey turns out to be a solid player and he was drafted 10 or 15 spots too high? Probably not, but there are still some question marks with him. Can he defend in space? Like I said, maybe the weight loss helps with that. Yeah, you know, I'm not disappointed in the pick. At the time, I was a little bit shocked that he came that early. Yeah, and I do have a clip for you guys from Vernon Carey post-draft talking about why he lost the weight and what will that do for his game.
Definitely just me being in better shape, that's the first thing, and just me being more mobile, I feel like, and I feel like those are the two main things, just me being in better shape and just me being more mobile. That's something I definitely feel like with me dropping 30 pounds, like that's definitely a positive from that.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be the most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Right now, go to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football's back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's Blue Wire, all one word. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so the next player that we should touch upon is Nick Richards out of Kentucky. I don't know a ton about him. Trade with New Orleans at the 42nd overall pick. He's 22 years old, 6'11", 240 pounds. I think he's from Jamaica as well. Biggest strength of his, to me, just kind of looking at the video, looking up on some of the articles about him, is his defensive presence around the rim. Mitch Kupchak has always said that this team needs shot blockers. We need people in the back end to erase shots. It's been a while since we've had one of those. On offense, I think you'll mostly see him as a pick and roll lob threat, but he did show some potential as a mid-range shooter, especially along that left baseline. So I think a lot of people had him graded above Vernon Carey. I had him below, but I do think a lot of people do like Nick Richards. Maybe they see him translating a little bit better in the NBA level. But it's interesting to see the Hornets draft back-to-back centers. The one with the 42nd overall pick happened to be with New Orleans, and we even trade to get the second one. So it's going to be interesting how that translates over to free agency. You obviously have Biombo, who's a free agent. There's some speculation that he could come back on a smaller contract, and having Biz in the locker room is never a bad thing by any means. But you do wonder if the Hornets, by drafting one and trading for one, does that kind of decrease the chances that Biombo will come back at the center position? Because you also got Cody Zeller on the team, and then PJ Washington from, you know, here and there will play some five. So I don't know if there's enough room for someone like a Biz, but we will see. And like I said, I'm recording this in the midst of free agency, and the Hornets have yet to sign anyone. Okay, so let's go on to Grant Riller, ex-guest of the show. 23 years old, out of the College of Charleston, 6'3", 180 pounds. This guy, when you listen to him speak, very mature. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I think that goes a long way. You know, being mature, being self-aware of who you are as a person, who you are as a player, and you're always open for constructive criticism. He's aware of that. Listening to him in his post-draft press conference, you hear those types of things in terms of coming in to the NBA level where he knows he's not going to have the spotlight or the ball in his hands like he did at CFC. And he always uses this term, I can do more with less. And I think people view this guy as a volume scorer, volume shooter, which at the College of Charleston, there was a little bit of that with him, but there's much more to this guy as a player. And I think a lot of times when you are going to a small college and all eyes are on you and the scouting report is all about you, you're kind of pigeonholed as this guy that is just going to take over and try to shoot and score all the time. But this guy has an awesome first step. He can blow by his defender with just like a quick jab and go. He's got a variety of moves out on the perimeter. And, you know, when he gets in the paint, he has shown the ability to score at the rim. I mean, 70% at the hoop, which is really unheard of for someone his size. He has unorthodox finishes, whether it's offhand or inside hand finishes to throw off defenders. And he talked about how he worked on his finishing, offhand finishes and stuff like that. So very good around the rim. He can play out of the pick and roll as well, make those reads. Make the initial reads as well as those off-ball or weak side shooters. I think that gives him the ability to play both on and off-ball. He even said it, he's a true combo guard. I guess the only thing in terms of off-ball, I don't think anyone views this guy as a movement shooter by any means, but I think you can put the ball in his hands. I think you can take the ball out of his hands. He doesn't have to be the focal point of the offense, and he's even said that as well. He can score on all three levels, including the mid-range. So he's got the side steps and step-backs as well. He mentioned on our pod where he was watching, you know, clips of Damian Lillard, and you see how he creates space like him, and watching clips of James Harden with the side steps. So there's a lot of those players' games in his game, obviously a little bit older, and I think a lot of people think that he is going to be a player that plays in Greensboro. I'm not really sure exactly how the G League is going to work this year, but probably won't get a ton of minutes, but really love this guy, and at the 56th overall pick, the value was just too great not to select him there. I would have been perfectly fine selecting him at 32. I think a lot of people had him at a late first, early second grade. For him to fall to number 56, I think it was a no-brainer to pick him up there. You get a good player, but also you get a good person as well, and you can just tell that by the way that he speaks to the media and everyone like that. So I'm going to go ahead and play a clip where I asked him about an underrated skill of his and how that will translate over to the NBA.
To play the right way and to play with other good players. I'm a guy that is growing up, have played with tons of good players, not to this level, but with other good players, have been a guy that has been placed in a role before. So I feel like I know how to do a lot with less. And I think that's the biggest thing, just being able to play within a system, do a lot more with less than I have in the past. I think it's something that I didn't really get to showcase too much in college because I had a lot on my plate. But moving forward, that's something that I think that will catch a lot of people by surprise.
Okay, I got another clip for you. This is from Mitch Kupchak, and he speaks on the selection of Grant Riller.
This era, you know, when there's uncertainty as to, you know, the G League and, you know, how else things are going to play out, how we'll use him. But, you know, we think he's talented, a four-year kid. You know, we had him ranked much higher than 56. You know, hopefully, you know, by ranking him much higher, we're correct. You know, we don't know that. So, but we think he's, you know, a good player, and we're happy to have him at 56. Like I said, we had him ranked much higher.
All right. I just wanted to put out a quick mini pod, and we are in the beginning stages of free agency. As we speak, the Hornets have not signed anyone. We will definitely get on that if they do. I do want to leave you with one clip from Mitch Kupchak in terms of how he is describing the needs of free agency and what that looks like moving forward.
We could use, you know, we're very young and we've got veterans, but I still think that we're a young team. You know, we do have Nick Batum and Cody Zeller, you know, who do have veteran experience, but maybe, you know, another veteran player, you know, maybe in the backcourt, but, you know, somebody that, you know, could play some minutes, you know, and mentor, you know, for all these young players.